It's Living the Bream with host of Fox News at Night, Shannon Bream.
All right, this week on Living the Bream, we have senior advisor to Donald J. Trump's 2020 presidential campaign, and she happens to be his daughter-in-law as well, Laura Trump, with us. Welcome to Living the Bream.
Thank you.
You are a busy woman right now. A lot of folks may not know just how involved you actually are in the political operation, the midterms. Where have you been? What are you seeing?
Well, obviously, we are gearing up for the midterms on November 6th, and the Trump campaign is fully involved. We work alongside the RNC, who is doing an amazing job supporting the congressional candidates across the country. Next week, I think I'm in Michigan, Texas, Florida, Indiana. I'm everywhere for the next couple of weeks. But it's so important because I think we all understand the gravity of the situation when it comes to the midterms this year. If there is anything that people can do who voted for Donald Trump in 2016, right now, you need to get out and vote in the midterm elections. So we are all hands on deck, everybody working really, really hard across the country. We obviously are in charge of all the rallies that you see the president do. And as you see, there are a lot of them. So he's keeping us all busy, but it's great, and we're really excited to be playing a part.
Mm-hmm. We actually had some friends of our family who went to one of his recent rallies in Tampa, and they were lined up outside for quite a while before, and they couldn't get in.
Yeah.
So they ultimately left and watched it on TV with the rest of America who was watching. So I know that the turnout and the crowds that we see are still very strong in a year that he's not on the ballot. And there's been a debate between people who say that's a plus or a minus, maybe depends on the district that you're in. That there is clearly the base who's going to turn out and is excited to see him. But other members of the GOP who say, maybe it's not my best bet to campaign with him. It doesn't work here in this district. They're not as fond of the president. What are you finding when you go to different places around the country?
Well, I will say the Trump effect is real. And anyone that has signed on board with the president and wants his support, it's been very beneficial for her. I mean, you've seen him call people out at campaigns. These Democrats in red states, their numbers are not looking great. Look at Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota right now. Everywhere it seems that he goes, he is impacting the poll numbers and the favorability for the Republican nominees. So I actually have yet to see someone turn away the support of President Trump. And as a family member, I'm actually going out and going to different places than he is, as is my husband, as is my brother-in-law, Don. We're all out in the country working really hard. And I will tell you, people want us there because I think they understand that it's almost like the Midas touch, but it's the Trump touch. Whenever the president gets involved in races, it tends to go very well for people.
Okay, let's talk about some of the new Fox News polling that's out. We talked about this on TV. Now we are on radio and podcast. But this idea that there are numbers that are not good when it comes to women, there's an 18% gender gap when it comes to women favoring Democrats over Republicans in these midterms, and much being made about the president referring to Stormy Daniels as horse face. Other colorful language he likes to use about any of the folks, male or female, that he is having sort of Twitter engagement and fights with. As a female, what do you make of that? Because some folks say he is turning away the very voters he needs to be able to win in the midterms. A lot of these suburban moms and women out there who they don't like that. They don't respond to that.
Well, they might not like it, but I'll tell you what they do like. They really like the direction of this country. They like the fact that they feel like they have a better opportunity lined up for their kid, whether it's their 401k is up or they have money to pay for college for their child or the country is safer as a whole now for the future of their children. I really think that's what women care about. You might not like his tweets. You might not like the way he talks sometimes. But I think when women get in a voting booth and nobody's looking, they're thinking about their families and they're thinking about the future of the country. And the reality is Donald Trump is producing results for this country. And people cannot deny that. And, you know, it's similar to 2016. People tried to say that in 2016. Well, Donald Trump is never going to get women to vote for him. Yet everywhere I went, there were tons of women that were turning out excited to support him. Most of the time, the women were more excited than the men. And I think we're going to see a similar thing here. After seeing what happened to Brett Kavanaugh, I can't tell you the number of women that found it so egregious what happened to him and so disturbing that the Democrats would try and take down a man who has served his country, literally spent his entire life serving his country for political benefit. I think they found it as disgusting as the rest of us did. And, you know, women are gonna vote with, you know, with their minds. We're smart. We don't need to be told by Democrats what to do. I really think that women are going to turn out for Republicans in the midterms.
I got to think when you and Eric got married those years ago, there's no way you could have found yourself in the position that you're in today or imagine that you would be around doing presidential campaigning and have a father-in-law who was president. I mean, how in the world did you get prepared for this? And is it something you enjoy doing? Because a lot of people would be a little overwhelmed being thrown into this arena that, frankly, right now we would agree much of it is very uncivil.
Yeah. Nothing can, I don't think, prepare you for this. It's interesting. When my father-in-law decided that he was going to run for president, 2 days before he announced and came down on the famous escalator, he actually sat down with all of us. It was his birthday dinner. And he told all of us, you know, this is going to get hard. People are going to come after us. It's going to get rough. They're going to say all kinds of different lies about all of us. None of us are going to be safe in this. I don't think any of us knew how crazy it would get. But he said, I want to know that I have everyone's support and that you guys understand what this means. And all of us said, 100%, we are on board with you. And honestly, from that day forward, I was in. I knew before he announced and whenever he was thinking about it that he would be a great president. He's been a great businessman his whole life. He has common sense. He says the things that we all think, but nobody said in many years because it's been politically incorrect to say. And I think, you know, it's such a refreshing breath of air for so many people. And I got into this actually kind of by accident. I went to a rally with him in my home state of North Carolina. And one thing led to another. And he said, you know what? I want you to be in charge of North Carolina. And that's how I got involved in the campaign. And here I am all these years later. It's the most incredible experience I've ever had. Nothing can prepare you for it, but I feel incredibly honored and blessed to be able to do this. I get to meet people across the country every single day and hear how the president has impacted their lives. And to play a small role in that is, I mean, I couldn't ask for anything more.
How does it impact you to hear criticism of him or of your husband, or of your other in-laws, the family that you married into? All of you were in this together, but some of the attacks going both ways, I mean, have gotten really ugly. Does it bother you? Do you have a thick skin? How do you deal with it?
Well, I think you know the truth about somebody. And of course it bothers you to hear lies about someone. Whenever I know something is blatantly not a fact, it's upsetting. But I think we all know the truth. And what matters is I know the person that he is, and he doesn't care. He continues to fight for the country every single day to make great changes that are benefiting people across the country every single day. And I know that about him. And you know, it's never going to be easy. I do think you develop a little bit of a thicker skin in all this. But at the end of the day, I know the person he is. I know who my husband is, who our entire family is. And again, he called this one from the beginning. He knew they were going to be nasty. But I think it actually speaks to the fact that he's doing such a great job, because they don't come after you when you're failing. They only come after you when you're winning. And the swamp, I really think, is being drained under President Donald Trump. And that's very scary for people who like the old way.
Do you think he anticipated just how crazy the swamp is? Because even people in his own party, yeah. I mean, people they've clashed. And there's definitely a way of working and the way the establishment works in D.C. I've covered it for almost 14 years now. And people become very entrenched in their power centers, whether Democrats or Republicans.
Sure.
And for somebody who's been a successful businessman, I mean, this political machine, it's a different monster. It's a different beast. Do you think there have been some frustrations along the way for him to see the glacial pace at which Washington, when they do get things done,
yeah,
how tough it is to keep your own coalition together and then try to find any bipartisanship? Do you think any of that was a surprise to him? Because it's not the field he was in.
Yeah, no, I think it was a surprise to all of us. I mean, you heard about it before. We heard that, you know, a crooked politician and this and that. It's real, and it's so much worse, I think, than any of us ever thought. And he's a man who's used to, again, running his own business, getting things done quickly. And for him, you're exactly right, the glacial pace of Washington, D.C. is one of the more frustrating things in the world. And I think we've all learned a lot. We've gotten a quick education in politics and the political structure of the country and how it all works. and a lot more than I learned in school for sure. But sure, it's very frustrating because, listen, he's in office for four, hopefully 8 years. And that's really, in the grand scheme of things, not a lot of time. And he has so much that he wants to accomplish for this country. And I know that it frustrates him that things do take so long. But God bless him. He keeps fighting every day, and he will not stop. They can try and outwork him. I've never seen someone outwork my father-in-law. And he will, in the end, get the result he wants.
Well, you're staying very busy, too. We talked about all the stuff you're doing on the campaign trail. You have a little one,
yeah.
And you have a very big commitment to fitness, which anybody who knows or follows you at all knows that that is a forte for you as well.
Yeah.
How do you juggle everything? It's a lot.
I mean, I don't know if anybody has a secret. I wish I had about 45, 50 hours in a day.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I don't. But I'm very lucky. I have my parents who live in North Carolina come up often and stay with our son if Eric and I are both traveling. I have a great support system. My husband's incredible. He's around when I need him and vice versa. But I don't think there's any secret. I wake up very early. Mm-hmm. I probably don't sleep as much as I should. But, you know, I try to do what makes me happy, what is good for my son, what's good for my family structure, and ultimately with my job now, what's good for the country. Mm-hmm. So I hope I'm doing a good job. I don't think I'll let you know when Luke is about 18 or 20.
Something tells me he's going to turn out just fine. But because you are committed to fitness and living a healthy lifestyle, I know that there have been times when we've been on the campaign trail and following you guys around and chasing different candidates for weeks, sometimes months at a time. It's hard to maintain that sometimes,
yeah,
when you're out there and you're eating where you can, working out where you can, grabbing sleep where you can.
Yeah.
How do you find balance in that? Is it possible?
I don't know that it is. I had Bojangles for lunch yesterday.
Yes, we so, love to hear that Laura Trump had,
yeah,
Bojangles.
So, I mean, listen, it's part of what this is. It's part of the experience. And I think that's kind of part of the balancing act is you can't be too hard on yourself. You're not going to eat vegetables every, mm-hmm, single meal sometimes. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And today I had a lot of extra vegetables for lunch. So I feel good about it.
There's a balance.
Yeah. Balance it out.
I mean, Bojangles has some kind of vegetables. I think maybe okra or something. They might be breaded and delicious.
Well, I had potatoes in the form of French fries yesterday.
Okay. See, you need carbs to keep up with
there
the schedule
is.
That you're,
yeah,
keeping.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that something else is very near and dear to your heart. Is that you do a lot of work with animals.
Yeah.
Tell me why you got involved and what you're doing now.
Well, I've loved animals from the time I was, you know, my earliest memories. My parents will tell you crazy stories about me bringing birds that have broken wings into the house and all kinds of crazy tales like that. But I've always loved animals. And, you know, I find that they don't have a voice. We have to be their voice. Without us, they wouldn't survive. And so I work with all different rescues across the country. I actually did something with the VA that I like call Pets for Vets, and it's pairing veterans with shelter animals. So you have both teams win there. You, mm-hmm, have the veteran who's going to be benefited by having a companion or a service dog sometimes, and a dog that would otherwise be euthanized in some cases or would not have a home. They're now in this loving home with somebody that cares for them. It's a great thing. I do whatever I can for animals, really. I wish I had time to do more. Down in Florida right now, there's something that they're going to be voting on in the midterms called Amendment 13 that would outlaw dog racing. It's a really disturbing sport. Dogs are kept in captivity for 23 hours a day in some cases. There are a lot of deaths. There are a lot of injury. It's totally unnecessary. So I'm working with a team on that, but honestly, any animal people call me and I come running because I just love dogs. I ride horses. It's you know, it's who I am. I can't change it.
Well, and I said to you when we first met that the first thought I had of you before meeting you was I remembered something happened before your wedding.
Yeah.
That you had an accident and you had to go into your wedding with broken something. I remember
that.
Yeah,
two broken wrists.
Right.
Yeah, it was a riding injury, and my husband would love if I never rode horses again. He's always like, be careful every time I go riding.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had broke both of my wrists like 2 weeks before our wedding. Mm. Honestly, though, you couldn't have told me my wrists were broken on my wedding day. Aww. I had beautiful fingerless gloves to cover them. It was fine. And you know what? I have a story to tell from it.
You do. And some great pictures.
Yeah.
Too. But I remember thinking like, oh no, I don't know this person, but this is a bride. This is terrible. Two broken wrists.
I gave myself like a 12-hour pity party and was very upset. And then I was like, you know what? I'm still going to get to marry my best friend.
Exactly.
I'm going to have an incredible wedding with people I love. That's it. Mm-hmm. It's all good.
How do you guys maintain your relationship or protect that in the middle of so much of a spotlight, political and otherwise? Because you married into the Trump family already before the politics came along. I mean, already going to be high profile. But how do you find the time to kind of nurture that relationship?
Well, honestly, we're kind of on the weekends like hermits. We get out of the city. We have a house outside of the city. We're so fortunate. And we just hang out together. That's what we do. During the week, it's crazy. Sometimes we don't see each other for a couple of days in a row. And it's so important. We both enjoy being outdoors and just hanging out with our son and our dogs and enjoying each other. So we try to find time for a date night during the week if we can. But if we can't, we always know we have the weekend. So it's really important. And honestly, this whole process, this whole crazy world of politics, I think has brought us closer together. Because really, it's sort of like being on a team with somebody. We're teammates in this. And if anybody can understand what the other one's going through, it's each other. So it's brought us closer. And, you know, we're in it together. And that's the only way to be.
Mm-hmm. And beyond politics, what do you think is the next chapter for you and for Eric and for whether the president is there for 4 years or eight? What are you thinking about long term?
Well, I think it'll be 8 years, personally. But that's part of my job, working at the campaign. But I don't know. I mean, I worked in television before this. I worked for Inside Edition. I was a producer for 5 years. Listen, Eric's at the Trump Organization running that now that his dad is in D.C. Mm-hmm. So he'll be there for sure, keeping that chugging along. I don't know. We'll see what happens for me. I'm usually a planner, so it's a little unnerving not to know what's going to happen after 2020. But I just trust that the universe and God has a plan for me, and I'll know it when I see it. So that's all I can say.
Well, you mentioned a plan. Is faith a big part of your life or part of giving you kind of a compass through all these different things?
Oh, absolutely. I grew up going to church and Bible school, and it's something that I actually found during the campaign very interesting. Everywhere I went, people came up to me and said, "We're praying for you. We're praying for your family. We're praying for Donald Trump." And faith, I think, and God played a big role in this election in many different ways. But for me, you know, it's always at the end of a crazy day, I just get to talk to one person. I say prayers every single night, and I can reflect on my day that way and ask for guidance in everything I do. And it's always been something that I've done, and it is important to me.
Yeah. I always think it's a good way to start, end the day, whatever you can do.
Yeah.
We all need a little divine intervention these days. So, Laura Trump, thank you so much for popping in on Live in the Bream, and we'll follow you out on the campaign trail and beyond.
Thank you.